Hi, I'm Amy Halloran. Welcome to another Food Diary.
No, Amy. I think we're going to... Guys, I'm sorry. I'm not sure what... We're getting a UPS delivery.
Okay.
And my dogs are... I currently have two dogs. My sister's dog is here, and they're both losing their minds.
Right.
So, unfortunately, my house is small enough that there's nowhere I can go. Can we hang on just one second?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. This is right at the beginning, so we don't have to deal.
Okay,
no problem.
Oh my goodness, guys. Hey, barley, whiskey, barley, sit, barley, whiskey, whiskey, sit. It's all right. It's all right. You're all right. Oh my goodness! Yeah, they're both really kind dogs that get very worked up over package deliveries.
I can understand. It's exciting stuff.
they're really into defending the household, and they're as you can probably hear, fairly large dogs, and they both have some. They don't look like it, but they both have some Rottweiler in their. They're past, so their barks really
they mean it. They mean
it. All right, guys, are we done? Has the package been? We're still in process, but yep, he's leaving. Okay, I think the house was successfully defended.
Awesome. You're still there. You can still talk.
I can still talk. I haven't been attacked by the UPS man yet. I'm pretty sure he's done. Oh, boy. Can't tell.
What are you getting delivered?
You know, it's probably actually stuff for my friends in Egypt, because apparently it's very difficult to get certain, like, you can't really get international deliveries. And so, say you want a book. You can't order from Amazon in Egypt. Say you need medicine, that's like a pretty common drugstore thing here. You can't get it there. So they're shipping, they're having a bunch of stuff sent to us. We're going to bring an extra suitcase over to Luxor filled with things like a laptop for one of their coworkers and stuff like that. So
awesome.
I'm guessing that we're getting another delivery of like, you know, just like household goods or something like that to fly to Egypt with.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah. Man, this is taking forever. We're almost done. Come on. All right. Come on, Dax. Come on. Come here, Whiskey. Come here.
You want to take a picture of me, Felix?
Quite the dog names.
All right. Now they're okay.
Okay.
I believe we can now start. Thanks, Amy.
Sure, sure.
Sorry, Felix.
Fine.
Okay, here we go. Hi, I'm Amy Halloran with another Food Diary. Oh, cut it out. Hi, I'm Amy Halloran, Food Security Manager at Unity House with another Food Diary focusing on women in grains. With me here today is Aaron Dietrich, who runs Signal Fire Bread. Aaron, welcome, and thanks for coming along.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks for having me.
Oh, so thrilled. Can you tell us a bit about your bakery and where
Sure.
people can get the bread, where you make it, and where people can get it?
Sure thing. As you said, my bakery name is Signal Fire Bread, and I am based in Cold Spring and selling here in Cold Spring, New York, right now at the Cold Spring Farmers Market, and at Marbled Meat, a great butcher shop in town, and Cold Spring Cheese Shop, and there's a restaurant called Dolly's down on the Garrison waterfront that gets my bread. So it's a fairly small network, but all right here in Cold Spring. But I'm actually baking up near Hudson, New York, in Livingston, at a bakery that was recently put into play by Sparrowbush Bread, and Antoine Gerlain is the head baker there. And we are sharing space in his wood-fired oven and bake shop, and sharing labor and ideas and all kinds of things back and forth with our bakeries there.
It's so,
but,
Cool. And I've visited this bakery, so I have to say that it's in a former greenhouse, which is quite an extraordinary setting, among the many extraordinary things of this handmade bread, hand milled, lots of new stuff going on inside there.
Yes, it's a beautiful spot. It's on an organic hemp farm. And, yeah, like you said, there's that greenhouse aspect on one side of it. So even in the middle of the winter right now, if the sun's really kicking up in the middle of the afternoon, you go out there, it's beautiful. And it's certainly unlike any baking experience I've had so far. I've mostly worked in, you know, windowless rooms, basements, things like that. So it feels really special to be in a space with windows and a view. And also to, yes, have access to that stone mill and dual arm mixer and that wood-fired oven that Antoine built. It's all really special stuff, and it definitely, I think you feel it in the bread, too.
I bet. The human touch is a real ingredient, and humans touching beautiful things adds up to great. The reason I invited you here is because you're a woman and you've worked in this baking field for a long time. I'm kind of collecting anecdotes and opinions and musings on what it is to be a woman in this field. With that introduction, what do you have to say about the experience?
I'm very proud to be a woman baker, certainly. And I was very lucky that early on I had a couple strong women bakers in one of my early jobs to sort of guide and teach me and show me ways in which women operated in bakeries. Because starting out in New York City, there's a lot of guys in the bakeries, and that is changing somewhat, but it's still a fairly male-dominated field, which I'm sure is why you're one of the reasons why you're asking this question. And I have to say that I had some good role models, but I did also have to really, really work to prove that I could handle everything that the men around me could handle. And I think there's an assumption based on my size and gender sometimes that maybe, you know, handling a 5-deck oven was going to be a little bit too much for me. And I think some of these assumptions I feel were made without even having the conversation with me. And it took me seeing that I was just going to have to throw myself into the hard stuff and ask for the opportunities again and again and really, really work to get to them in a way that I didn't perceive maybe a male coworker who was like twice my size, but certainly no more intelligent than me, getting that slot at the oven right away. So it's certainly something I thought about a lot, is the ways in which just being a woman sort of made me have to put myself out there a little bit stronger, a little bit harder.
Was there ever any point where you wanted to say, quit it, I can't take this kind of environment where I have to prove myself so often?
Happily, no. I was never in an environment that was that intense. I was very lucky in that I have worked with people who, once I did prove what I could do, they more than happily gave me the things that I wanted to do. So I happily was not ever in a truly toxic environment. And I think I was very lucky in that. And I think that was also somewhat due to me sussing out situations before taking a job.
And seeing that you had the capacity to move through them rather than run up to
exactly.
Too many walls. Yeah,
exactly.
That's
exactly.
Great. What, you know, looking, you and I have been at events together where there's a palpable sense of dudes overlooking women in the room, even at very progressive baking events.
Yes.
What's up with that?
Such a good question.
Mm.
Such a good question. I think part of it is just that ingrained sexism and gender disparity that we still have across the boards, where women are being invited on the panels more. Women are being involved, I think, as head speakers at big events more. But I think there's still a lot of guys who are looked to as the experts, as the sort of old guard, and there's a way that that new guard can still even fit into that somehow and feed that energy, that we look to men as the, as the leaders. And some of it is, I think, just the issues that you see across fields of there still being more men in leadership positions than women. And I think changing that is really what it takes for those voices to be at the forefront, because we certainly have just as much to say, I'd say, and just as much experience in many cases as the guys. But it's baking has been a male, professional baking has been a male-dominated field for so long, and, you don't really see as many female millers as you see male millers. You don't see as many female bakers as male bakers, even in the supply industries and all the things that we need to be bakers. You're dealing with men most of the time. And I think when that's the case, it's just easy to sort of still fall into those male-dominated, vocal patterns. And I'm not sure why that is.
Yeah, I think it is going to take generations of change. This has been another Food Diary, Women in Grains, with Amy Halloran, Food Security Case Manager at Unity House.